Scripture lesson I've chosen to read from the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, 5th chapter, beginning at the first verse. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's 1 Peter 5, 1-4. We're going to continue with our studies on first century Christians by talking about the office of elder today. Last week we talked about the office of the deacon. We found that it was created in the early history of the church, the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, when the apostles were leaving the preaching to serve tables to take care of the daily needs of the multiplying congregation. And so the deacons were chosen to take care of the physical needs of the congregation. But as we mentioned, we believe that the church, the early church, did not have too much or too little organization. It probably had the right amount to take care of the needs in the church. And the church, as far as we could tell, had there were local churches, they had elections, they had officers, they had ordinances, they had meetings, and they had discipline. Because in two different places, Paul said, God is not the author of confusion, and he said, let all things be done decently and in order. And that's really all organization of the church is for, is that there not be confusion and that all things would be done decently and in order. And we mentioned the temporal, the deacon in charge of the temporal affairs of the church. We talked about the elders and deacons being mentioned in Philippians 1:1, and also talked about qualifications in 1 Timothy 3. But the office of the elder is the highest office in the local church. In other words, the offices that are named, it would be the highest. And the word elder comes from the word presbyteros, you can see how close that is to Presbyterian, and that the Presbyterian church is organized with the elder being the highest office in the church. It so happens that bishop is the same office, and the churches with episcopal form of government choose to consider the bishop being the highest office in the church. Same guy. One with a Greek name and one with a Hebrew name. So really there's no reason for them to fight about it because they're still talking about the same person. Presbyteros means old, older. Our English word alderman comes from that word, meaning an older man. And about the first notice we have of elders is in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts and the 23rd verse, where it talks about ordaining elders. And we've used this before in talking about our elections. And so in Acts 14:23, when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. This word ordained here is different than the word that we find later in Timothy. And this is the word actually means to elect by raising up the hand. This to me is very interesting. In other words, just like Say, all those in favor say aye, or hold up your hand, and that's what they do. And that's what the word meant. In other words, they did not have high church officials going out and ordaining elders on their own, but rather they elected elders. The congregation elected elders. And I think that's important, because that reinforces the idea I've always had about the congregational organization and polity of our church, that we as a congregation are supreme, but we elect officers to act on our behalf. And the highest one is that of elder, is an older person to be over the congregation. It goes on, of course, in Titus 1:5 to talk about ordaining elders. And one of the interesting texts in the book of Acts, because here we see we're talking about first century Christians. These were first century Christians. The story is told about the Apostle Paul going up toward Jerusalem, and he was going by Ephesus, which is on the coast of what is now Turkey. And the seaport town was Miletus. And he just felt he didn't have enough time to go inland to Ephesus, so he sent for the elders to come from Ephesus down to the seaport town so he could talk to them. And so from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And I love how he talked to me. You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Gentiles or Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. He had been warned by then-day prophets that he was going to be arrested. And they tried to kill him on several occasions. But anyway, he said, I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I'm going there bound in the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. 25th verse. Now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. In other words, it's not just the grace of God, it was the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the will of God. I'm sure that Paul was making reference to the Old Testament references about the watchman on the wall. The watchman on the wall of a walled city was to give alarm if he saw danger coming. Well, if he warned the town and everybody was killed, he wasn't to blame. But if he warned the town, and I've said it the wrong way, he warned the town, they were all saved, that was good, it was him. If he warned the town and they didn't pay any attention, he was free from their blood because he had warned them. And so Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men because I've declared to you all the will of God. And so he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with the blood of his own. Well, it so happens that the word overseer there is the word episkopos, where we get the word bishop. So he's saying, take heed to yourselves over which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops. Well, he called them elders. Come, I'm going to talk to you. Then he called the elders bishops, or overseers. And so we get from this text that bishop and elder are the same office. In fact, some have said that one, the elder is the title, the bishop is his job. There was elder. He's an older man in the congregation, but he's an overseer and our bishop, and that is his job. And I, to me, this is the title elder is carried over from Judaism, where the aged men are the leaders of the family, of the tribe, the synagogue, and the nation. And elder would probably pertain to all offices such as prophets and evangelists and pastors. So they are the same. But the thing that I think is wonderful about overseer, and I'll mention it later, because there's some people have misused some of these words and try to get the idea that the elder is over everybody. He's the boss. And that's not presented in the scripture. In fact, the overseer here is a watcher. That's what overseer means, a watcher. One who has watchful care over the flock. Now, I think that's beautiful. In fact, to me, when he said right here in his speech to the brethren, he said, feed the flock of God. And to me, the idea of the church being a flock is just a beautiful picture. And therefore, when you have the pastor, which actually means, the word itself means shepherd, so that means that I'm a shepherd of this flock. Well, the shepherd is not mean to the sheep. The shepherd knows you can't boss sheep. You call sheep and they come, and if they don't know you, they won't come. So there has to be familiarity and love and consideration between the shepherd and his flock. But episkopos, overseer, just means a watcher, one who has watchful care over his people. So to me, it's a wonderful position, and it's a wonderful picture that our church is a flock. There are old ones, maybe not productive. There are younger ones that are on the go and producing and wanting to do things. And all in all, it's a balance of old heads that say, oh, no, don't do that. And the younger ones say, well, I think we ought to do blah, 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 and are upbeat and so forth. But it's a combination, and it works because there have been sheep since day one. So we know that they are going to succeed. But 1 Timothy, the third chapter, is one of the places where it talks about the officers, the bishop, and the deacon. And we read this for you last week, but it says if a man desires the office of bishop, he desires a good work. I know people that have desired office. I always tell people about a young man in my church at Brush Creek, and he went on to become a pastor, and is listed among the retired pastors today. And he said to me, "Preacher, I want to be a leader." He said, "I smoke," and he said that's not very good to be a leader of young people and smoke. So he gave up cigarettes, and he purposely made his life so that it'd be acceptable to be a leader. And I thought that was wonderful. I thought it was a wonderful thing that a young man would desire to do that. Not just say, take me as I am, but I want to be fit to be a leader. And so what can I do? And so he did the things that are named here to bring himself into a position so that he could be the leader that he wanted to be. He said, if you desire the office of a bishop, you desire a good work. He must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, that's where it comes, overseer, watchful, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, that is friendly to strangers, and being able to teach. Not given to wine, that is, not alcoholic, no striker, not violent, not greedy of filthy lucre, not in it for the money, patient, not a brawler, not covetous of what other people have, and talks about one that rules his own house or guides his own house. I'm going to bring out here now because I'll talk about it later. But every time you find this word rule, it doesn't mean I've got the stick, I'm ruling. It carries the thought of guide, a guide or a leader. And that to me is beautiful because I'm going to tell you about a situation that arose in our church that it didn't go along with that thought. It was somebody that says, I'm the boss, I am ruling, you do what I say. And he considered himself a super elder over all the other elders. I mean, it caused a lot of trouble. But anyway, he led his own, he was a guide to his own children. And to me, this is something that's important. It says, not a novice. I have known people who are new. A novice means newly come to the faith. I've seen trouble caused by people who are newly come to the faith that didn't know what all the standards and the doctrines of the church were, and they just kind of went out in left field, as they say, and did things that were not right. And another thing it says that he should be of a good report of those that are not of the faith. And that's desirable, and that's good. In fact, we can't all, I don't ever consider myself just pleasing to the people. That's not even my aim in life, just to be pleasing to people. We have to have standards, and sometimes you go against what other people believe and say. But anyway, it's not this idea of you have to, the people, one thing I point out to people, you have to be a friend enough of somebody so that they'll listen to you. If you always have this feeling, in other words, if you go around with a 2x4 and hit them over the head, now listen to me, this is what you got to believe, that doesn't get you very far. I've known people to try that, and it doesn't get you very far. But if you just say, well, this is what I believe, this is what I consider the Bible to teach on this particular thing, and I'm placing it out there, and if you see fit to believe it, that's okay, and if you see fit not to believe it, that's your right. So, to me, that goes along with it. It's just like that 1 Peter 3:15, being ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in you. In other words, you're not going out hitting them. You're ready to talk when they're ready to talk. And that's what, to me, it's teaching here in regard to the elder or overseer or bishop, is that he's a leader. He's someone that is guiding people, not forcing people, not pushing people, not bossing people, but leading in a soft and beautiful way. In fact, that scripture that I read to you, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, I think that's a wonderful text having to do with the elder, not being lords over God's heritage. I learned by experience back when I was married to Orpha and lived on the farm in Minnesota, that my Orpha's mother had sheep, and you don't boss sheep. You don't drive sheep. You open the gate and call them. You open the door and call them, and they come. But you don't boss them. They go, just go every direction if you try to boss sheep. We're not trying to boss. We're leading. So it says, not lords over God's heritage. When it says a husband of one wife, it's not necessarily saying that he has to be married. It does not say husband of a wife. It just says husband of one. So that is what it's, these are part of it. But these are qualifications. And I have never known anybody. I know that I am personally, even though I'm considered elder of this church, I know that I don't have all of the qualifications that it gives. I never have known an elder that had all the qualifications. God is used to working with people as they are. We bring our talents. We bring our abilities. But we have failures. We have shortcomings. We have weaknesses. And those come along too. But we need to at least do our best. The duties of the elder would be to be a spiritual guide of the flock. as it said in Acts 20th chapter. It does not say he is to discipline the shop, the flock. That doesn't come in there. In fact, as I said to you, every time it says to be rulers of the congregation, it has to do with leading. And one of the texts that a certain pastor used that I talked about being the super elder, he used Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and there are several places there that it uses the word rule. 7th verse, 17th verse, 24th verse. But whenever you look that up, look up the word rule, the margin even says guide. And it actually means to lead the way, to go first. In fact, in verse 7, where it has the word rule, the margin says guide. So this goes along with what I was just saying, not being lords over God's heritage. So this should say, follow your leaders. They watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. So in other words, over and over, he's saying, follow your guide. Those who are older and have experience and are devoted to the Lord. So this is what I see in this. In fact, there are no super elders. It's with very much sadness that I read such as this that was given to me. Here's a letter from a church. Dear so-and-so, in a special congregational meeting, the congregation passed a motion to revoke your membership. This is the Church of God, Abrahamic Faith. We revoke your membership. And they did it to another man. She was a member of the first class of the Bible College, 1939. Wonderful woman, Church of God background for generations. She was strong. I'll say this about her. She was a strong person, and if there's something wrong, she just didn't go along with it. And what happened was that she would not submit to this super elder. And so she was churched because she didn't cooperate with leadership. That, to me, is a sin. And they did it to another man. This was Rockford, Illinois. They did it to another friend of ours. I think he was originally a member of the church at El Dorado, Illinois. And when we were at Brush Creek, Ohio, he was in our congregation. His wife was our organist, a devoted Christian man, but he was the same way. He was not going to let anybody pull wool over his eyes, and he didn't. They kicked him out of the church, too. And as far as I could tell, all it was about, they just didn't submit to authority. And I didn't blame them. I wouldn't have submitted to the authority that they had there either. I'd have been kicked out of the church, too, because it wasn't right. But anyway, that whole paper, that whole sheaf, is a congregation this super elder proposed that he be the top man. And that whatever he said was it. He knew more than they knew about the character and personality of people who would fit in this job. No elections. The elder appointed all of them. It's just not biblical, and it's not scriptural, and it's not Christian, as far as I'm concerned. And in regard to the scriptures, in other words, talking about ruling, that doesn't mean rule as we think of as a king or an authority. It means to lead, to go before, to go first, to lead the way. And I just think that's great. Instead of the elders sitting in the back, bossing people and putting people into the fight, he's out front leading the way that they should go, just like the shepherd leads the way. So I believe the Bible, and I believe the Bible is leading us in the right way as to our congregational polity and how we should live together and work together, love one another, serve God out of love, If any person has an office, it is not to laud it over anybody else, but is merely to do the job that's before him, to see that things are done decently and in order. The elder is to teach. He's to feed the flock. He's to labor in word and doctrine. In James, the 5th chapter, he's to visit the sick and to pray for the sick that they may be healed. Or as in Acts 20:35, to support the weak. I think those are all point to me as wonderful characteristics of the elder and overseer, the one who watches over us. I have known some wonderful elders. My great uncle J.E. Adamson, my uncle Norman McLeod, Sidney McGaw, who was my teacher and pastor at Oregon, Illinois, was a wonderful man that you could follow with safety. Ellie Connor, a true pillar in the Church of God, and S.J. Lindsay, a very devout, humble man, all of them wonderful teachers, and M.O. Williamson of the Guthrie Grove congregation. I look up to him as a fit elder, even as I had a wonderful man in my congregation in Los Angeles, Robert Johns, who fulfilled all of these points, able to teach and was a wonderful example. We want to be first century Christians. I want to be. Let me say it. I'll do it personally. I want to be a first century Christian. I want to live by what the Bible says and how it was delivered to those first church people that followed Jesus and that followed the example and the work of the apostles who were sent by Jesus to proclaim the gospel and to bring people into the family of God through baptism into Christ and to then to go on and mature together. I have the same aim as you, to mature in the faith and to grow in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ and to understand the Bible and to apply it to my life so that I can live in peace with my neighbors and friends and family and perhaps encourage and help someone as we go along the way. God bless our activities together, we ask in His name. And we thank you.